There's a new book out called Mommy Goose Rhymes from the Mountains. It's written by Mike Norris with carved illustrations by Minnie Atkins. It's from the University Press of Kentucky. And this is a unique children's book with the use of carvings by the well-known folk artist Minnie Atkins to illustrate it. Mike, welcome to Around Cincinnati.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
You and Minnie are both from Kentucky and have a strong Appalachian background. How did this collaboration come about on the book, and when did you first meet Minnie Atkins?
Well, Minnie and I met because of Mikhail Baryshnikov, the dancer and actor. I was working at Center College in Danville, Kentucky at the time, and Baryshnikov was coming on campus to get an award to perform and to do some master classes with students. And Minnie was coming that same weekend to receive the Norton Award for Achievement in the Arts in Kentucky. Normally I wouldn't work, but that was such a fraught weekend that they called me in, and I was to squire Minnie and Garland around because they knew I spoke Appalachian. And when I met Minnie, if you've ever met one of those people that after about 5 minutes you feel like you've known them your entire life, that was what happened. And I noticed immediately how generous she was. She was wearing these carved animals, foxes and bears, and somebody would say, "Oh, that's a beautiful necklace." And she'd say, "Well, here, honey, just take it home with you." Well, true to form, at the end of the weekend, she gave me a beautiful blue guitar, which is actually the last image in this book. That was in 1992. And I gave her a cassette tape I had recorded with the Raggedy Robin String Band, and she called me up after about a week and said, "Well, I wished you hadn't given me that tape." And I said, "Well, why, Minnie?" And she said, "Well, it's got that song on it about the bright blue rooster, and I can't quit thinking about it, and it's aggravating me." And I said, "Well, just lay down. Maybe you'll feel better after you rest." About a week, I got a big box in the mail. Here was this beautiful carved blue rooster with a plumed tail. I put it on my mantle. Then I couldn't quit thinking about it. Long story short, I called her up and said, "If you'll carve all these critters, I think we can make a book." And they started arriving in the mail. So we did Bright Blue Rooster, which was published about 20 years later. Then we did a book called Sonny the Monkey. And this last one is Mommy Goose Rhymes from the Mountains.
So this is your third work with her.
That's right.
Does she send you the carvings and you write the rhymes?
Well, it's happened different ways. With the Bright Blue Rooster, I had written the song, and she heard the song and then did the carvings to the song. The lyrics to the song are identical to what's in the book. Sonny the Monkey, I wrote it for her, specifically wrote the story, and then wrote a song, which was much shorter. It would have been too long. And then this one, I wrote the text while she did the carvings, then I wrote the song. This project has fallen out in a kind of, I hate to say it, but magical is the only word I can think of. Most of these rhymes came to me in the car while I was driving from Lexington to Moorhead to meet Minnie to work on the other two books. When I got about 48 of them, they quit coming to me in the car. I had started scheduling trips I didn't need to take, but it was over. So I thought in the song, somehow it seemed that each line of the song and the verses needed to refer to the rhymes and add a little information. So there's 48 rhymes. There are 12 four-line verses in the song. That's 48 lines. And so writing and recording that, playing all the parts, that was about a nine-month project.
So music is an integral part of this process.
Yes. As I said, the first book was a song before it was a book. I've been, I guess what you'd call a day job musician all my life. So I've been writing songs of one kind or another since I was about 11. So the songwriting really came before the book writing, but I love both parts of it. But for every book, there's a song.
Would you mind reading one of your pieces?
I'd be happy to.
The Mommy Had to Mop?
Well, that one goes like this. The kitchen was dirty. Mommy had to mop. She cleaned every crumb. She wouldn't stop. Then she sat at the table and drunk her a pop. To me, it's interesting you chose that one. I grew up in Jackson County. I can tell sometimes people are from different counties. If you're not familiar with the accent, it all sounds the same. But these rhymes try to capture that flavor of Eastern Kentucky language. Mommy Goose is a big character in the book, and if you grew up in Appalachia, in southern Appalachia, and when you come out into the wider world, you learn very quickly that your dialect is not celebrated. But Mommy Goose says that the way you talk, your birthright dialect should be honored, but she goes on and says, you need to learn all you can about words, because they're the common currency of everything we do, and that'll help you succeed. And that could be summarized in the opening rhyme. I guess it's about Mommy Goose, like you'd see on the dust jacket of a novel about the author. It says, Mommy Goose is an Appalachian bird. Like cows love corn, she loves words. She says corn can be yellow, blue, or white, and words change colors in different light. To talk like your flock is no disgrace. Just use the right word in the right place. When I was putting the book together, the character of Mommy Goose emerged very strongly as the sort of glue that holds it all together. And I told you that rhyme about her talking about the two themes, the worth of your birthright dialect and the power of words. And she comes in every four or five pages to make a comment. But I wanted her comments to be associated with the carving Minnie did of the Mommy Goose figure and not set in type. I wrote them, and then I wanted to get Minnie to write them on some material that would be organic and appropriate for her medium that she works in. And so I looked all around, and then I went outside, couldn't think of anything, and I spied this big shaggy bark birch tree that my neighbor has. Well, I have to confess, she was gone to work. I just slipped over and stripped off a bunch of strips of it. And they've somewhat grown back now. And I took them to Isonville in Ellett County, where Minnie lives, and she wrote them. And then in the photography, which I did all the photography and page layout with a little putty, it appears that Mommy Goose is holding those birch bark rhymes in her beak.
Where are those carvings now?
Well, they're at my house in the shop, and sometimes when we go around to do programs, Minnie will come with me sometimes. And I will tell you this little story. Sometimes we'll do assemblies for school children, and Minnie has been carving since she was five, and she wouldn't mind me telling you that she's 81 now, so that's a lot of experience. And she uses a soft wood called Linwood. And when she carves it, she's so fast, at first you just think she's whittling it to nothing. And then very quickly, you go, oh, that's a bear, that's a fox, that's a rooster. So while I'll tell stories and do the songs, she'll be carving. And we'll always get the name of some child that could maybe use a little boost, a little recognition, a little excitement. And at some point, while I'm talking, Minnie will interrupt me. This is almost like vaudeville, and I'll be very irritated. Minnie, please, I'm trying to talk here. I'm sorry, Mike, but I've just got... This fox is telling me something. I go, Minnie, they talk in the books, but now you know they don't really talk in real life. And she goes, well, you see what you think. And so she'll bring it over and stick the fox she's carved in my ear. And, of course, I get a surprised expression, and I'll say, is there a Susie Sizemore in the audience? And some little girl will stand up and go, I'm Susie Sizemore. And I said, well, this fox says it wants to go home with you. Would you like to have it? And invariably, Susie would. Minnie did more than 100 carvings for Mommy Goose. But we'll take some of them and let the kids see them. We'll show them the page and then show them how they were set up to be photographed. But we can't let the little boys get too close because they want to grab them and play with them like toy soldiers or something.
And you're going to be coming to the area on Saturday, March 12th at the Joseph Beth Bookseller store in Crestview Hills.
That's right. That's right.
And that's going to start at 10:30 in the morning. What's that going to be like?
Well, we're going to start off with a blues song. I usually ask the children if they have a favorite animal, and they'll tell me that they do. And I'll tell them about a while back I got to thinking about, you know, the animals do so much for us. We get our eggs from the chickens and milk from the cows, and the horses let us ride on them, and dogs and cats keep us company. But we don't ever pay the animals any money at all. What would happen if all of a sudden they wanted to be paid? And so we'll do the song Barnyard Blues, and we'll talk about that a little bit. And then I'll show them a big book called Oh Appalachia that's got many pictures in it. Shows her carving, because I want them to get a sense that these are not just drawings and paintings. And then we'll read the story of the bright blue rooster, and then we'll sing the song. And then we'll turn to a non-farm animal. You go out to feed the chickens or the pigs or the cows, but you don't usually go out to feed the monkeys. But we'll do Sonny the Monkey. We read that story and sing that song. And there's some opportunities for audience participation in the Sonny the Monkey. And then we turn to Mommy Goose, and we usually end with the Mommy Goose song. Now, I will need to tell you this quickly about Mommy Goose. Mommy Goose makes a promise to the children that if they learn her rhymes as children and remember them when they get old and they come to their into their minds and they say them, that they become young again. At the end of the song, it begins, it says, when you listen to Mommy Goose, you may forget the words she said, but 40 years later, they're still in your head, in your heart, and on your tongue. You'll be in the hills and young. Listen to Mommy Goose. And at the very end, it slows down, and there's the chorus. Mommy Goose, Mommy Goose, when she gets a hold, she don't turn loose.
Well, thanks for coming by tonight.
I've enjoyed it.
I've been speaking with Mike Norris about his children's book, Mommy Goose, Rhymes from the Mountains. You'll find my complete interview with Mike Norris, along with his song, Tell Me Mommy Goose, on our website, wvxu.org/AroundCincinnati. I'm Lee Hay.